Well, I'd like to open up today by just jumping right into the Bible. So if you would, let's just open up and go right to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is obviously a cornerstone section of Scripture on the Feast of Trumpets. Everyone reads from this Scripture today. Mr. Bill read from it, and with good reason, obviously. A good chunk of how we understand the Feast of Trumpets and the resurrection are found in this chapter, and I'd like to read this chapter as well. But I'd like to come at it from maybe a slightly different perspective today, and still thinking about the Feast of Trumpets and what it pictures, I'd like to start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but this time starting in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, verse 6, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, verse 7. And after that he was seen by James, then all the apostles." I'd like to pause here just for a moment, because we kind of know how this builds within the chapter from your previous readings. Christ was resurrected, and likewise, as at his second coming, we will also be resurrected. But it's the next verse in chapter 15 that always stood out to me, and it's one that I'd like to draw out and focus on today, especially in the background of the context of the Feast of Trumpets and what it entails for us. Let's read that verse, verse 8. "Then," and this is still within the story of Christ being resurrected and seen by others, verse 8, "then, last of all, he was seen by me also, as," get this, "as by one born out of due time." As one born out of due time. Now, Paul wasn't called at the same time as the original 12 disciples. He wasn't called into the church at the day of Pentecost. His time came later. In fact, as he makes it very plain in his letters, he went down a very different path at the beginning before Christ had to kind of pull him back and reorient him down a different direction. And here Paul mentions kind of an interesting comment, almost like he was feeling like he was a late bloomer, or that he came along at the wrong time, or that maybe he had squandered part of his life up to this point. So the question is, have you ever felt that way? So I know I've had conversations with others where they have expressed comments similar to this, and of course I've thought about it within my own life too. Because we know the Feast of Trumpets is a holy day that pictures God's intervention on the earth. And all the holy days have future implications for mankind, of course, parts that look into the future. But the first set of holy days back in the spring are very much at a personal level. It's all about your individual relationship with God and how to grow that relationship. And then when Pentecost arrives, the scope widens to talk about the spiritual church. But then when we get to the fall holy days, starting with the Feast of Trumpets, well, then the scope then just explodes. Now we're talking about an international level or a global level or a mankind level. And that's exciting, naturally. But I also think that it's normal at this time to consider your role within that plan. As in, why me? Why was I called when I was? Why am I here now? Etc. And all of those are natural questions for when this scope expands, thinking about your individual relationship with God, as pictured in the earlier holy days, to this huge, massive, worldwide scope of the Feast of Trumpets and your part within it. And I've often wondered if this is part of what the Apostle Paul was thinking about in this verse that we read. It's really kind of an insightful comment, but it's also kind of an offhanded remark. And there's no doubt that God used the Apostle Paul very powerfully. And there are no doubts about the promises God makes to us as future kings and priests. But I don't think that it could be any more of a natural question to ask ourselves in why did God call me in the way that he has, in the method that he has, in the time that he did. whether we were born into a family that was already attending church, whether we came into church much later. Maybe we came into the church, then left, and came, then left, and came, then left. It's easy to feel like one could be born out of due time. And in pondering this question, I always think back to a passage in Esther chapter 4. You can turn back there if you want. This isn't a scripture that we read terribly often, or really ever on the Feast of Trumpets, but it's one of my most favorite verses in the whole Bible. And hopefully you remember the story here of Esther, the previous queen to King Azarias, angered the king and was removed, and a call was put out for a replacement queen. It was kind of the very first bachelor show, reality TV show that there was. And Esther, as a Jew, was one of the ones that was selected as a replacement. And the king really grew to like Queen Esther. And Esther tried, with her guardian Mordecai helping her, to live a good life. Unfortunately, there was a plot against the Jews by the evil king, or by the evil Haman. And the plot was discovered. And if it was to be enacted, as you know the story, as Haman wished, it would have meant destruction of the Jews throughout the kingdom. Now here in chapter 4, Mordecai is laying out the plot and its severity to Esther. And she's hesitant here. She's got a good thing going right now. And she's not exactly sure how to handle it. She's not exactly sure what to do, because there is great risk in any action she might take. She doesn't think she's up for the challenge or has maybe what it takes. And the king could have easily had her removed or killed, you know, like the last one, for all sorts of offenses or slights. And for Esther to go in front of the king in this manner and reveal the plot would be putting her life in jeopardy. So let's jump into the dialogue here between Mordecai and Esther as it goes through some messengers as they discuss the risks of taking action. So we're going to pick it up in chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. Esther chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. All the king's servants, this is Esther speaking here, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king, who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, verse 13. And Mordecai told them to answer back to Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish." And this is the part that always stands out to me. "Yet who knows? Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for a time such as this? Well, obviously, Esther was exactly there for a time such as that. She was born exactly at the right time and in the right place for God to use her for his purpose. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth, and when we are converted to spirit beings, there's going to be a crushing amount of work to do, even just right from the get-go. It's going to be a very good thing that we don't need to eat or sleep, because we are going to be fully engaged. The physical people remaining on the earth will be in all sorts of states, both physically hurt, but certainly mentally and emotionally as well. People, even so, will be from all sorts of backgrounds, life experiences, and cultures. And it's a good thing that we aren't here all the same within our congregation, because what a disservice that would be. Paul, speaking as someone who wasn't an original disciple or apostle, would have a completely different perspective than the others. And boy, did he. Those that grew up in the church will have a completely different perspective than those that did not, or those that left and came back. My first job out of high school was actually of a chimney sweeper. And those that know me obviously know that I am incredibly talented at singing and dancing. So it might be that my niche is just people that like Mary Poppins. I don't know. But if that is what my unique path has put me through this training period for, then I have confidence that God will use me as a tool that best suits his needs. And that sounds pretty awesome to me. Well, in closing, the Apostle Paul, the same person born out of due time, had a few other things to say. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6, I think this is probably not something that he came up with on his own. If I were to guess, I would think that his friends probably also said these words to him a few times or two. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Feast of Trumpets is both a beginning and an end in a lot of ways. And for those that hold fast to the faith, it will be the end of that training period and the first day at a crazy new big job. While there's all this awesomeness that this day represents, it's easy to think that we aren't ready or that we didn't make perfect use of all the time that we had, or maybe in some sense that we were born out of due time. But God has a plan for us all, both individually and within the huge context of the Feast of Trumpets. And by doing our part, following his word and striving to live his way of life the best we can, with that being the case, and with God working in us, a good work in us, then we are born at exactly the right time.